We'll discuss the issue of how much risk one has to take or one is permitted to take in a performance of a mitzvah. There's general risk, which is not tonight's share, in terms of whatever the rules of risk-reward are in general. But right now, we'll at least begin to focus on a dvar mitzvah. Is one, whatever the normal amount of risk is to function in life, what you're allowed to do and not to do, does it change if you're involved in a dvar mitzvah? Do I say, well, okay, so what's dvar mitzvah? You can't do any more than on a normal day? Or do I say a dvar mitzvah, or perhaps a parnasa, maybe I could take a higher level risk? As we all know, there's a fine line between being brave and being foolish. And I'm not going to get into the Friday night discussion on Niagara Falls about tightroping. Where does that fit in? But we'll discuss the parameters of a mitzvah. So there's an interesting Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Ches. The Gemara tells us that it talks about the mitzvah bedikas chametz. There's a biblical prohibition to own chametz on Pesach. In addition not to eating chametz on Pesach, one is prohibited from owning chametz as well. And according to some, it's a biblical geder. Usually we have a rabbinical fence around the biblical law. Some even suggest that the reason why you can't own chametz is just it's a biblical fence not to eat chametz. So either way, there's a prohibition to eat chametz as well as owning chametz. And we do many things because by chametz more than regular non-kosher, because chametz is kosher all year round. So we're accustomed to eating it. So therefore, really min haTorah bittul bi'al mesagi. Really, if you nullify the chametz, biblically speaking, that's enough. So the question is, why do we do bittul or other things, or why do we do bidika? So the Rishonim talk about the concern is whether you're going to go home and you're going to see a nice pastrami sandwich on the table and you're going to eat it, you'll forget it's Pesach, or you won't really mean it, and therefore how are you going to nullify a melt-away? You can't do that for Lev Shalem. So therefore, you're really going to own it, and therefore you'll violate. So whatever the reason is, the rabbis instituted bedikas chametz. Perhaps if you did not do bittul, then maybe bedikah could even be daraisa. But pashtus, we're talking about bittul bial misagi. You did bittul, and now you're doing bedikah. So Gemara once entertains the question about doing bedikas chametz in a place where it's infested with snakes. There are snakes all around. Is one permitted or is one obligated to go ahead and do bedikas chametz? So that's a discussion. The Gemara gets into the issue of shluchei mitzvah eino nizakin. There's a principle throughout Shas that when you're involved in a mitzvah, eino nizakin, it's not, no harm is going to come to you. And then there's this, but that, the Gemara says, it's only go shlicha hezeka. That's only a place where, if it's infested and you know like 99% of the time you're going to get bit by a poisonous snake, then you can't do it. In a case where it's just a minor, it's not a real major risk, it's just a minor thing, it's not usual for the snakes to bite. So then, we could say, shlicha mitzvah eino nizakin. We could say, perhaps one could take a risk. And therefore, that's what the Gemara says in Pesachim. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which seems to embellish the principle, enhance it, enlarge it, by saying, this is true, a regular mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah l'shma, or if you learn Torah l'shma, you seem to be protected even where if it's shchiach hezeka, even if it's common, even though it's more dangerous, but if you do the mitzvah l'shma, or you learn Torah l'shma, and the Beis HaLevi has a whole discussion on learning Torah l'shma, why Torah is even greater than a mitzvah. The mitzvah only protects you, kol zman you're doing the mitzvah. But Torah, even after you finish learning Torah, it still protects you because there's two aspects of the mitzvah. There's the ma'isa mitzvah, but there's an aspect of yediyas haTorah, and that you take with you. So the Gemara says, in a case where you do a mitzvah l'shma, Torah l'shma, it protects you even in a case where it's more common to happen. And in fact, with this we can understand perhaps the Gemara in Ksuvis. The Gemara in Ksuvis 77b talks about when there's an infectious disease to stay away. Like obviously don't come near people with infectious diseases. However, the Gemara says, but Rav Shimon ben Lakish, he disregarded the concern and he went ahead and he taught Torah even to those people who had the infectious diseases. So the Ritva asked, how could he do it? How is he allowed to risk his life in order to teach Torah? So the Ritva refers you to the Gemara in Sota and says, apparently, Rav Shimon ben Lakish was on the level of learning Torah Lashma. And therefore he realized, well, he wasn't concerned because he was on the level where his Torah Lashma would protect him. And maybe that fits in with another Gemara. There's another Yerushalmi, which I discussed at great length over Shabbos, the Yerushalmi that talks about that Rav Imi, Yerushalmi in the 8th parak of Trumas, Rav Imi was taken captive. And it was the Machlokes, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, what to do. Rav Yochanan said, bring out the tachrichim, bring out the shrouds. What do you want? We can't do anything. He's caught. There's no ransom. They're going to kill him. And Reish Lakish said, no, either I'm going to go in, either we're both going to live or we're both going to die. Because that was in his previous life. He was a bank robber and he went down, took out his machine gun and said, we're going to go in there. So people quote this Yerushalmi as the source that one is permitted and perhaps one is obligated to risk one's life to save someone else. The Beis Yosef writes, because if you don't do anything, he's definitely going to die. But if you do something, you're only risking your life. So, Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. That's the Beis Yosef. But the Ritva seems to be saying something else here. That Reish Lakish, he wasn't worried. Maybe the average person isn't obligated to risk their life. But Reish Lakish wasn't worried because he learned Torah Lashma, and therefore he knew he'd be protected. So that's what they point out here. So when you do a mitzvah, so besides the ordinary risk reward you have to do, but if you do a mitzvah, again, you know, whether we're on that level today, who's to say they do a mitzvah l'shma? That's the question, whether we have that type of protection today and to put someone at risk. And further, the Avnei Nezer points out, and even if you assume you're allowed to take on a certain level of risk for a mitzvah, that's only the person who's in danger himself. But the Avnei Nezer writes, someone who is, let's say, who is older and not alert, he doesn't know, let's say, senile, or a child, a little baby, let's say, familia, doesn't know, he says, you have no right, the parent has no right to put the child at risk. It's only the person who's taking on the risk himself, he has the right to make that decision, and if he wants, he can take on a certain higher level of risk because he's doing a mitzvah. But that's only the person himself. But not the person, if you're doing it for someone else. Like, for instance, there's a Machlokes Rav, it's the Avnei Nezer, but it's Rav Tzvi David Hoffman versus Rav Moshe by Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, they did the Milah in the Midbar, and the rest of Klai Yisrael did not. The question is, why didn't Klai Yisrael do it? Because there was a certain wind in the Midbar, it was a sakana, some type of sakana to do a Milah. If it was a sakana, how could Shevet Levi do it? If it wasn't a sakana, so why didn't everyone do it? So Pshat is really, it wasn't really a danger. Maybe it was a very small percent, maybe 1-2% chance something might happen. So in a case where you have, If it's a 50% chance, then it's us to do. But let's say it's a small chance. So then, if you want, it's up to the person. Sometimes the halacha gives the person a choice to make, whether you want to do it or not. So in a case where there's only a very small amount of risk, one has the ability, one has the right to make a choice. Like one chola might choose, no, I don't want to take any risk and that's it. And another chola might say, yeah, I'm willing to take it. It's up to the chola. So Rav Svi David Hoffman says, like the Avnei Nezer, but that's only if it's the chola himself. A father can't decide for a child to make that decision. If there's any type of risk for health, i.e. for a bris, then you're not allowed to do it. You're not going to be relevant to the mitzitza b'peh shayla if a parent's allowed to put the child out. You're assuming that you assume mitzitza b'peh, some form of risk today, that it's not so pasha that a parent could do it for a child. Ramosha disagrees and says, it always goes to next of kin. A father's equal to a child, and a father can make the decision. That's a machlokas among the Achronim. It's a major shaila in Eretz Yisrael today. If families moving to some dangerous areas in Sderot, it's not a pasha if the kids, it's one thing a kid who doesn't know anything, the two or three. But someone, who's older, 7, 8, and, they're afraid, or the family, I'm not saying you can't, but it's a big shiloh whether one is permitted to move your family into a place of sakana if they don't want to, if they're not willing, you need the permission of your family as well. But that's the fundamental shiloh here in terms of whether you could take, whether we have this concept of a mitzvah l'shma today, who's to say they do a mitzvah l'shma? And then to rely on a special shmira, and then even if you want to do it for yourself, it's a separate issue. Could you do it for either, let's say, your parent who can't make that decision? Could you put your parent in a certain risk? Not a high-level risk, and could you put your child? And we see this concept as well. We see also, we'll have to stop here, but we see it also by a parnasa. We see that the Noda Behud has the famous tshuva, that whatever risk you can normally take, but we see from a pasuk in Devarim that sometimes workers put risk their lives for their employers. So the Yehuda was asked the famous child about could a Yid be a hunter? So he says it's not a profession for a Yid. You should become a doctor, or whatever. But he said, if you're doing it for entertainment value, it's usher. But if you're telling me you do it for parnasa, then I can't say it's usher. For a makam mitzvah, makam parnasa, you're allowed to take an added element of risk. How far could you go? Are you allowed to work in coal mines, toxic waste buildings? Could you be a daredevil like climbing across Niagara Falls on a wire if it's for parnasa? That's a further question. How far does it go? How much risk could you take for parnasa? But whatever it is, we see for a mitzvah purpose, and for parnasa, according to some, one is permitted to take a higher element of risk. How much that risk is, that has to be determined.